Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskrityam naram chaiva nahuchamam devim sasvatim vyasam tatujayam udirayit shrimvatam svakata krishna punya shravana ketana vidyantastogya patra nividhunuti suritsatam nashtapa yeshu apadrishu nityam bhagavata sivaya bhagavat yodama shloki bhakti vavatinayishtiki. So, good morning. Welcome. Thank you for coming in such a big number to this class. His Holiness Yadunanda Maharaj was bestowing his mercy, his costless mercy upon me by asking me to serve you on speaking on a particular subject matter, on the importance of introspection. Actually, I chose the topic. He actually gave me a list and then I could choose. And I found the corresponding verse. It's written on the board, and it's a part of the story when Lord Brahma, after he has been born, first of all he's in darkness, so, and then he also starts to question. We will chant together this verse. Ka Esha Ya Asau Aham Abshaprishthe Etat Kutaha va abjam ananyat apsu asti hi arhastat iha kinjana etat adhishtitam yatra sata nu pavyam. Kai shayusa vahamabja prishtha etat kutu vabja mananyadapsu astit hiyadanstat iha kinchanaitat adhistitam yatra satanu bhavyam. Kaisha yusa vahamabja prishta etat kutu vabja mananyad apsu astiyad hastariya kinchanaitat adhishtitam yatra satanu bhavyam. Kaisha yusa vahamabja prishta etat kutu vabja mananyad apsu astiyad hastat iha kinchanaitat adhishtitam yatra satanu bhavyam. Kaisha yusa vahamabja prishta etat kutu vabjam mananyad apsu astiyad hastat iha kinchanaitat adhishtitam yatra satanu bhavyam. Kaisha yusa vahamabja prishta etat kutu vabjam mananyad apsu astiyad hastat iha kinchanaitat adhishtitam yatra satanu bhavyam. Vaisha Yusavam Abjapishta Pitat Kutu Vapcham Mananyadapsu. Asti yad hastat yah kinchanaitat adhishitam yatra satanubhavyam. Ladies, please. Kaisha yusavaham abjapishta etat kutu vapcham mananyadapsu. Asti yarastar yakinchanaitat adhishtitam yatra satanubhavyam. Kaha hu ishaha this ya asau aham that I am abjaprishthe on top of the lotus. Etat this kutaha where from va either abjam lotus flower ananyat otherwise apsu in the water asti there is he certainly, arhastad, from below, iha, in this, kinjana, anything, etat, this, arhishtitam, situated, yatra, wherein, sata, automatically, nu, or not, Bhavyam must be. Translation in Purport to Vanguard, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Lord Brahma, in his ignorance, contemplated, who am I that I am situated on the top of this lotus? Wherefrom has it sprouted? There must be something downwards, and that from which this lotus has grown must be within the water. Purport. The subject matter of the speculations of Brahma in the beginning regarding the creation of the cosmic manifestation is still a subject matter for mental speculators. The most intelligent man is he who tries to find the cause of his personal existence and that of the whole cosmic creation, and thus tries to find the ultimate cause. If this attempt is properly executed with penances and perseverance, it is sure to be crowned with success. So first of all, I would like to ask you all, if you so desire to wish well to this class, because I feel completely not, you know, qualified to sit here. But I prepared something, and I hope it's for increasing everyone's understanding, insight, as this is the subject matter of this class, and also for my own purification. Yeah. And I'm thankful actually for this service. So, first of all, I would like to read a few more verses to, because it's very interesting to have the context of Lord Brahma of this verse, because Srila Prabhupada makes many nice verses also. This is text 16 to 22. Brahma, born out of lotus flower, could not see the world, although he was situated in the hall. He therefore circumambulated all of space, and while moving his eyes in all directions, he achieved four heads in terms of the four directions. Lord Brahma, situated in that lotus, could not perfectly understand the creation, the lotus, or himself. At the end of the millennium, The air of devastation began to move the water and the lotus in great circular waves. Then today's verse. Lord Brahma, in his ignorance, contemplated, "Who am I that I am situated on the top of this lotus? Wherefrom has it sprouted? There must be something downwards, and that from which this lotus has grown must be within the water." Lord Brahma, thus contemplating, entered the water through the channel of the stem of the lotus. But in spite of entering the stem and going nearer to the navel of Vishnu, he could not trace out the root. O Vidura, while searching in that way about his existence, Brahma reached his ultimate time, which is the eternal wheel in the hand of Vishnu, and which generates fear in the mind of the living entity like the fear of death. Thereafter, being unable to achieve the desired destination, he retired from such searching and came back again to the top of the lotus. Thus controlling all objectives, he concentrated his mind on the Supreme Lord. At the end of Brahma's 100 years, when his meditation was complete, he developed the required knowledge, and as a result he could see in his heart the Supreme within himself, whom he could not see before with the greatest endeavor. To summarize the main points here, also concerning introspection, as far as I understand is that Lord Brahma, even though created from pure intelligence and being the most intelligent living entity, although he endeavored, he could not understand what this creation was about, where he came from, what the lotus was. So this is very important for us to know and very relevant, because usually with our material eyes we tend to be quite puffed up. We want to see God, we want to know everything by the eyes. But Srila Prabhupada continuously goes on to explain, what's the use of these eyes? It's useless, as soon as somebody switches off the light in the night, and then everything is gone. So when the sun would not rise, we would be all in darkness, and nothing would be done about it. So another important point is that Brahma, after finally being frustrated in his search, even though he came nearer to Vishnu, still he could not find the real source. It means, as far as I understand also, the living entity can to some extent become self-realized and reach the Brahma-Buddha platform. But then still, one has no knowledge about God. So one can only have a partial realization of the Absolute Truth by one's own endeavors. That's another significant point which I found. Another interesting point is that Lord Brahma then ultimately, after turning himself back to Vishnu, meditating upon him, by controlling his mind and senses, and he concentrated his mind on the Supreme Lord. Actually, Jayadvaita Swami, he gives a very nice essay in one Back to Godhead magazine. And if you don't mind, I would also like to read it. It's very short. It's also summing up the whole points, but it's developing the points a little bit further. Okay, the article is entitled Enlightened Introspection. Introspection, you need it. Take a break and think about what your life is about. Put your routine aside, put your plans aside, put your everything aside and take the time to think. What is my life for? Where am I going and where do I want to go? If I stay on my present track, what will my life come to? And is that all right or is it drab, disappointing, crummy, empty? From Srimad Bhagavatam we learn that when Brahma, the first created being, first awoke after having been created, he found himself seated on a great lotus, surrounded by cosmic darkness, the lotus swaying in the wind. And he began to ask himself, who am I? Why am I here? What is this lotus? And where has it come from? He looked in all directions and could find only darkness. But finally, amidst the darkness, he heard a transcendental sound, a cue from the Personality of Godhead, a mantra, a liberating instruction. And acting on that instruction, he steadied his mind in meditation and at last saw before him a vision of the spiritual realm and the Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Brahma had attained perfection in Krishna consciousness. By the grace of Krishna, he could now understand everything about his own self, his purpose in life, the lotus, the darkness, everything. Such is the wonderful power of introspection, guided by transcendental sound. Introspection alone, however honest, however intense, however deep, isn't enough. It falls short, collapsing along the way. But when our power of introspection is uplifted and reliably guided, when it takes help from transcendental sound, from Krishna, then success is sure. By deep instruction, by a sincere inner search, and with the help from the Personality of Godhead, our eternal Krishna consciousness can be revived. Then every question is answered, every problem solved, every perplexity unraveled, every obstacle overcome. The mental clouds that have covered us, the routines that have dulled us, the smiling falsities that have bewitched and bound us, with the help of Krishna we can then see them for what they are and go free. That help from Krishna is available to us in the Krishna sound. There is no difference between Krishna, the Personality of Godhead, and Krishna, the transcendental sound. So our introspection can best be guided by Krishna's words of enlightenment as found in Bhagavad Gita or by the sound of the Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And by that Krishna sound, Krishna is present. And when Krishna is present, illusion can no longer prevail. So take a deep break, look within, take guidance from Krishna's words, chant Hare Krishna. Krishna will help you and your life will again be sublime. So, the importance of introspection, I think, is very essential in a spiritual life. And later on I will give some Shastric evidences also for that. First of all, I would like to start with a definition, or two definitions which I found in the online dictionaries. One is that introspection comes from the Latin word introspicere, originally from introspectionem, which means to look within. And it appeared around 1670, 80. So around this year, in the 17th century. And it means observing or examining one's own mental and emotional states, mental processes, etc. And it describes the act of looking within. And then there was another meaning given, the tendency or disposition to do this. Basically the inclination. In the Encyclopedia Britannica, we also find a nice definition on introspection. Introspection is the process of observing the operations of one's own mind with a view to discover the governing laws of the mind. So it's very important, as we hear in this second definition, that one disidentifies with one's body and mind. One observes the mind. And also with a view to discover how actually the mind is working. No? That means, as Jayadvaita Goswami, Prabhupada said, that we have the Bhagavad Gita. And in the Bhagavad Gita we find very, very valuable instructions. Actually, Mahadyuti Prabhu, His Grace Mahadyuti Prabhu, he compared the Bhagavad Gita to a survival book. When you you go by airplane to some foreign country and then it crashes, you know, somewhere in the jungle, and then you are surviving, you're not the only one. Congratulations. But it's nice, okay, when it's at life, but when it's lost in the middle of nowhere. So actually our position within this material world is to some extent similar. We misidentify with this body, with this mind, and so we are completely bewildered by illusion. We act according to lust, greed, anger, and we consider them to be our real friends, which actually they are not. Actually, they are our enemies. And therefore, the Bhagavad Gita is directly spoken by Lord Shri Krishna himself to help us conditioned, materially identified conditioned souls to regain our insight into the spiritual subject matter. Especially in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, I have my main quotes from there, is very instructive on how the mind operates and how one can become free from it. So why is it so important to control the mind? Because one can say, okay, I may just think of one person bad, you know, in case some argument is going on. Maybe one is so much self-controlled that he does not explode and not, you know, fight with the other person. But then still, already this bad thought is causing at some time some bad words to follow. And then naturally those words will be followed by deeds. And the more we act in a particular way, it becomes the character or the destiny of the living entity. We can understand it by visualizing a riverbed. When a small river starts to flow, the riverbed is not very deep. But then, similar to the Grand Canyon, when a river has been going through for so many thousands of years, it really becomes, you know, deep. So our upadis, our identifications with this mind and body, are very deeply imprinted within us. And it's very difficult to get out of these things. But it is possible. So how is it possible? First of all, it's maybe interesting to know, okay, when do I need to apply this process of introspection? What do I gain from it? You know, why should I do it? And what is it? How do I do it? So, perhaps some of us have sometimes wondered, okay, what is my part in a quarrel or misunderstanding, you know? And but usually it's not exactly the first answer that comes to the mind. Usually we are just disturbed about the person, about the circumstances, and then we tend to see the faults in others. And this kind of perspective is very detrimental in spiritual life, especially. And it's considered to be the mad elephant offense to blaspheme the devotees. Actually, this whole process of self-realization, there's one very nice verse in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita 69, where Krishna explains, what is night for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-controlled. And the time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective sage. And Srila Prabhupada, he explains that actually this is the difference between an animal and a human being. On this side. Sorry. That the human being, by gaining education and culture, he can develop insight introspection into the real nature of things. And this is, again, the purpose of Bhagavad Gita, is to teach our intelligence to be transcendentally situated, and so to help us in our re-identification, reawakening to spiritual life. Srila Prabhupada also, in another passage, he says that he compares the eyes which do not see the truth, and that means eyes of men like animals, animal-like men, yeah, like that, animal-like men, he compares it to peacock feathers, which is kind of interesting. Peacock feathers also have very nice and beautiful eyes, but they are useless for the purpose of seeing. So, in the same way, our material eyes are actually useless in regard to seeing the actual real truth. But, as Jayavaita Goswami Maharaj pointed out, we have the possibility of real seeing by hearing transcendental sound. And only in this way. And to come back to the story of Lord Brahma, Lord Brahma, first he endeavored himself, but he couldn't see anything, even though he was running around circumambulating the whole lotus, and even he went inside the stem to find out the origin. It was not possible for him, and he's the most intelligent conditioned living being. So it really means something. But then some sound was there, the flute of Krishna, and he heard tapa. So and then he followed this instruction to be austere and was meditating upon Krishna. And that finally, at the end of his life, enabled him to regain complete perfection in Krishna consciousness. And then he sang the Brahma Sanghita that we all know, we chant. So it is only by this means, through the help of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra, actually, that one can really gain insight into the reality. Okay, so coming back again to the process, so usually we said it's not natural for us to immediately identify our own part in a quarrel. And usually we find faults outside, you know, others' faults or the circumstances. And actually I found out that it's only 5% of people in the whole world that have a natural inclination to for introspection. Yeah, so only 5% of all living beings have of all human beings have the tendency and the inclination to really look inside, naturally. All others, we need to develop somehow this skill. And it's very similar to communication. It's also a skill, a life skill, that will actually bring about liberation, peace, and happiness once one mastered it. But when one does not like to see one's own faces, masks one wears, and is still attached, clinging to the painful conceptions and the upadis that we have about us, then it's very difficult actually to get started in this process, you know, because mainly we may be blocked by fear. You know? Usually we know also this fear, for example, you know, we don't want to sit on Vyasasana and give a class, you know, in front of elevated devotees, or maybe we want to get in touch with some nice, beautiful girl, and then we are a little bit shy. So, but then usually this kind of fear is, it appears to be like a huge monster, but actually is very insignificant, and it's basically just delusion. You know, it's on the opposite hand, actually, this very same fear, which may be the cause of our suffering, actually in a particular way. Because when we are still attached to it, we don't want to let it go, we don't want to go through the deep canyons of this fear, which are dark and black, and to come to the other side and climb there, you know, and find something completely new, more wonderful land, maybe, then it's, yeah. So that brings us to another important aspect. Okay, what is the gain? Why should I do introspection? Well, there's many answers. I already mentioned some. One can gain happiness. No? In the Bhagavad Gita, it is described that one can come to this Brahma Buddha platform, and coming there actually is quite a nice thing. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed towards every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. So here we hear that a soul who is situated in on the Brahman platform, Brahma Buddha platform, he becomes completely happy. And not only that, because he is equally disposed to all living entities, basically it means he has good relations with everybody. You know, he can deal very nicely with other persons, they don't feel offended. And we see this very much exemplified in the example of the six Goswamis. It's also said in this song about the six Goswamis that they were not envious, and so even the rascals, you know, they were still friendly disposed towards them. They were not inimical or something. So this is another gain which we may get by investing in this skill, developing the skill of introspection. And then also, maybe the most attractive is to attain pure devotional service for Krishna. Isn't that a nice goal? And it's really only the fear that keeps us back. I know from my own life that, you know, because my character was quite difficult in the beginning when I joined, and you know, I had many misgivings like communication and cultural issues and so many things. But then somehow by the tolerance of the devotees and the good guidance of the devotees, they helped me, they enabled me to develop, to look at this dark shadows, you know, this dark deep canyon, and really go through it. And they supported me, and in this way, it was possible for me to get a little bit more taste in Krishna consciousness. Something very nice, actually, every one of us is looking for, isn't it? And this taste is coming after the Aniti, Anatta Nivritti platform. So, of course, this is already also quite some elevated platform, which I don't say I'm at. I'm sorry for maybe having given this miss, you know, picture. But anyway, you know, everybody who comes to Krishna consciousness, he can feel that there's a joy within, right? Everybody has some experiences, otherwise we would not sit here. So, and to rediscover this joy, which is just waiting on the other side of the canyon of this Anatta Nivritti, we just basically need to develop this inclination and this skill. And there are many things which one can also do. One is not doomed to do it alone. First of all, we have help from the devotees around us, Sadhu Sangha. One of the important items or two is that one can confidentially reveal his mind, inquire from other persons, okay, what, how do you see me, how can I improve, or how you, do you see this situation, and but always with a reflective kind of attitude in mind, okay, what is my part in it? Not so much, you know, like gossiping, okay, you know, this person, you know what he did, and you know, because this is not leading us anywhere. Actually, this gossiping is can be nicely understood, and nowadays almost everybody has a computer, right? So if you continuously download some programs and you store so many things, then at one point it just gets stuck. Isn't it? So one has to actually purify it also, the whole system. And in this way, enable the system to continue to work. And it's the same with us. Once we have the choice. We can choose, okay, we want to get stuck, we want to cling You know, we want to keep our identification, and we feel, no, everything is all right about us, without considering the so many various influences on our behavior pattern and, you know, cultural, educational, so many things. Then basically we make a choice in a different direction. Then we just have the eyes which are like peacock feathers. So therefore the Shastra, and Srila Prabhupada especially, he says that in order to gain this jewel, one could say, of introspection, one needs to develop the eyes of Shastra Shakshush. He says, you should see through the Shastra. Don't try to see by your own eyes. What's the value of your eyes? But actually it's not about the eyes only. It's also about understanding. And our understanding also, there's some section in Bhagavad Gita, is influenced by the different modes of material nature. So it's also important to be helped, you know, in this process of anatta nivritti and this introspection, to develop the real sight. Okay, and this is a couple of verses from the 13th chapter. One who sees the super soul accompanying the individual soul in all bodies, and who understands that neither the soul nor the super soul within the destructible body is ever destroyed, actually sees. One who sees the super soul equally present everywhere, in every living being, does not degrade himself by his mind. Thus he approaches the transcendental destination. One who can see that all activities are performed by the body, which is created of material nature, and sees that the self does nothing, actually sees. So actually, when you know, some quarrel is coming up or something, then we can also choose to think, oh, actually this is just the modes are working, and really step back into this observer mode, instead of identifying with body and mind. But for this one has to be in goodness, of course. And to point that out a little bit more, I have these three verses which describe the different understandings of a living entity in the modes. This is in the 18th chapter from text 30. O son of Prita, that understanding by which one knows what ought to be done and what ought not to be done, what is to be feared and what is not to be feared, what is binding and what is liberating, is in a mode of goodness. O son of Prita, that understanding which cannot distinguish between religion and irreligion, between action that should be done and action that should not be done, is in the mode of passion. That understanding which considers irreligion to be religion and religion to be irreligion, under the spell of illusion and darkness, and strives always in the wrong direction, O Pata, this is in the mode of ignorance. Of course, now he is somehow related to religion and irreligion, but we can also see this understanding, apply it to the working of the mind. I remember that in my childhood, I used to pray a lot. I was from Christian background, and I liked to pray, especially in the morning, to get some direction in life, some focus, and then in the evening as a kind of recap, so that, you know, I could process these things, whatever I experienced. And actually I found it very helpful. My grandmother, she gave me this nice gift. But then in due course of time, and even now, even today, even though I know its value, you know, I just don't have the time anymore to do it. So what does it mean? I don't have the time to do it means I'm in passion. I'm just running around doing this and that. Of course, everything necessary and needs to be done, but until now I really did not so much, obviously, come again to the platform of Satvagun. But I found it in my youth especially very, very helpful, very enlightening to do this kind of stuff. And there are also other techniques, one could say, one can adopt to be more present. Because actually this introspection is about the presence of the mind, which we are also supposed to develop by chanting japa, by reading the books, isn't it? So we should be present. And in this way, there's, for example, the Christians also have some technique. It's called Lectio Divinae. It's a godly kind of reading. One is reading small passages from the Bible, or we can also take Bhagavad Gita, of course, you know, but the Christians, they do like that. And then they contemplate, they kind of, you know, chew around, okay, what, you know, does it mean? And then they see, okay, what the mind brings up, what kind of issues are there hidden under the surface. And then they take these issues and they think about it and everything, but they then pray and offer these issues to God. So that they are not the only doer, basically, but they are somehow connecting it with Krishna. And whenever I use this technique, which is another technique of reading, of seeing Krishna in one's life, actually, it is helping me to become more situated in my middle, more balanced and well established. And this is also what we heard before, you know, one should invest the time, one needs to step back a little bit, as Advaita Maharaj said, you know, because unless we make a conscious break and we just keep running, where will we run? We don't have a goal. But when once the goal is established, and Srila Prabhupada says, disturbance is due to a missing of a goal. You know, when we don't have a clear goal, then we lack direction, determination, so many things. How will we go there? It's not possible. And actually, there are many surveys, which one can also, many researchers on the internet, the successful people, usually what they did, they, after their first school, and before their studies and everything, they had some targets, some goals, and they pursued these goals. And usually they reached, maybe not all of them, some percentage, maybe 60% or something, but on the other hand, those persons who did not have targets and goals, they, you know, didn't reach anywhere, basically. They were not happy with their lives, maybe they had 10 or 20% happiness. So just to see the value of this targeting, having the goal. And therefore it's important to read, attentive, to chant, to pray, to associate nicely with the devotees. Yeah. Because these are all things that can help us in our introspection. But actually everything just boils down to one thing, as far as I understand, and this is honesty. Do I want to be honest with myself? Do I want to really see those bad black things which, you know, seem to be hiding, these monsters in the background? Actually, they are not too bad. And it's worth to go and face them, because we really can gain freedom, you know. We have much more energy, because usually, for example, say, in a swimming bath, right? You have these water balls, and then once you try to keep the water ball underneath the water, some pressure accumulates. So you have to constantly deal with this pressure, you know. Work with this ball in this direction, to just keep it there, not to let the other people see your real face, you know. But then once this you let go of this water ball, you know, it just flies away, and then you can be free, you know. You don't have to have this pressure all the time, you know. And actually, this is actually really satisfying for ourselves. It's not that the people like who we want to be, you know, the people like us, the people like the soul, the people like Krishna, which is our real identity. So this is what I had to say. Okay, trying to sum it up now. It's a little bit difficult. We heard of Lord Brahma, the first created living entity, made from complete pure intelligence, and even he was not capable of, you know, understanding the truth, the reality, about himself, about the creation, about God. And then he was relying on his own personal strength, basically on his eyes. And whereas when Krishna somehow felt compassion with him and manifested in this sound, tapa, and then Brahma decided, okay, anyway, it didn't lead me anywhere, so let me sit down now and meditate. And then he gained perfection by transcendental sound vibration. Guru Sadhu Shastra. And Guru is there, Sadhu. Shastra. So then, I told a little bit about my own realizations about praying, and yeah, I don't know, I'm not so good in recapping. Yeah, we heard about the process. Why at all is it necessary to do introspection, and what do we gain from it? Do you want to hear again the good results? Yeah, just to strengthen our determination to, you know, try it. Okay, one loses self-centeredness. It means the ahankara goes away, the painful identifications, and then at one platform, sooner or later, we come to this joyfulness, Krishna consciousness, we get a taste, ruchi. Also we gain peace and happiness in Brahma-Bhuta platform. We gain better relationships with others, because anyway we see everybody on the same platform. And then by taking responsibility for oneself and being willing to change, one actually expands his circle of influence. Also it helps us to keep our focus on the goal, on Krishna. And also it offers insights into the life biggest questions. Okay, who am I? Why am I here? As we saw in the story of Lord Brahma. And ultimately it gives us Krishna Prema, pure devotional service, when we really invest in it. And or if we don't want to really invest fully in it, but just to some degree, anyway we get some bigger picture and a more holistic perspective to oneself. Also this is the essence of spiritual life. So I find this is the main gain. Okay, then we heard how to do it. Yeah. So I want to finish here. I have much more verses from Bhagavad Gita. In case somebody is interested, I can give him the list and for some reading session. For example, you know, if somebody would like to reflect more on these issues. Okay, are there questions or comments? Yeah, I mean, in spiritual life it's good to have a healthy fear for Maya. And Srila Prabhupada, he always said that, you know, this was one point which he criticized in his Western disciples, you know, that we are somehow lacking this fear for Maya. Maya is a pure devotee of the Lord. And Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita that Daiviye Shaguna Mayi is his divine energy. It means fully invested by the Lord's energy, Shakti Avesha, so to say, you know, so we cannot cope with her. And therefore we have to know the laws of the mind, of culture, of interaction with others, no, communication or introspection, so many different things. Actually, this is something which I also found very astonishing. Actually, thank you very much for bringing up this point. I was also confused when I read this chapter. You know, this particular sequence of verses, maybe Maharaj can help, or some other elevated devotee. Because, well, I also came across in the point that Brahma seems to have spent maybe two or three lives with this whole process, not only one. It's really astonishing. If you read the purport, actually there's something very astonishing before also. Before starting to meditate, Lord Brahma, as is written here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, after he entered the water through the channel of the stem of the lotus, and it's better of not finding the root, then in the next verse, it's text 3820, O Vidura, while searching in that way about his existence, Brahma reached his ultimate time, which is the eternal wheel in the hand of Vishnu. It means death. So this is another death which occurs suddenly, you know. So, you know, and then after that, okay, Brahma, it says, thereafter, being unable to achieve the desired destination, he retired from searching and came back again to the top of the lotus. And then he started his tapasya for this 100 years of his life. This is really astonishing. I mean, if somebody likes to read it, it's 3:8:16-22, this passage which I read.
It's a messy topic. You have
Jai Shri Krishna. Some more questions, comments? So, but as far as I understand, there's different helps that we can get. You know, first of all, there are advanced devotees who can help us, you know, once we reveal our mind to them. In my case, for example, I had really some problems, you know, with my mind from my childhood and so many things. And, you know, they just told me as it is, you know, no, it's actually not like that. And I went to some kind of seminar. But the usual response is that, okay, you have the Bhagavad Gita, and which the Bhagavad Gita helps us to develop transcendental intelligence. And by this means of transcendental intelligence, as far as I understand, and this Shastra Chakshush, by really, you know, seeing and acting, you know, putting it into practice in our lives, we can finally come, after some process, I don't know, I'm still also not there, you know, to the goal of realizing that we are not the body, not the mind. But therefore, it's important to have a guru, to have some authority to which we can surrender, because usually that's our disease, isn't it? That we think, oh no, we know everything, and anyway, you know, the other person is wrong. So, but the guru, obviously, you cannot do it with the guru. You know, the guru is the person where you have faith in, who you tested before, and who tested also your sincerity. So, therefore, it's important to have some authority figures, like the spiritual master or senior devotees, who can help us, aid us in that way, and to study the Shastra, and really study. Not just read, to just spend 1 hour daily or something, but really spend some time. And cultivate goodness also is very helpful. Because usually I find in passion, I just don't have the time to introspect, and then I'm just running, it's useless. What am I doing that for? As Advaita Maharaj was saying, it's like dull efforts, useless. But the mode of goodness, and there's a whole chapter in Bhagavad Gita about the modes. And then, some other respond? I don't know. Do you have another respond, Hari Bhakti? Thank you. Thank you. Maybe some small add. I also found it very helpful because I'm also not situated right now in goodness completely. But from my youth, I remember something very helpful. And then I just, when I had some problems, overwhelming things, and I just needed to have space, I would just go outside in the forest in the early morning hours when practically nobody was there except the birds chirping and the sun was setting and raising. And just by exposing myself to goodness, basically it also impacted me, it also influenced me. So it's maybe also helpful. So thank you very much. You have been such a nice audience. It was very inspiring to me, for me to speak. I even forgot my nervousness. So thank you very much. Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Gaura Bhaktavinoda ki jai.